You'll be aware of the blackouts that happened in Spain and Portugal this week. And it made me think about God being and Jesus being the light of the world, and light that shines in the darkness. So that's our theme for this morning. So I'm going to read 1 John 1, which is all about that which we celebrate, that Christ is light. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared and we have seen it and testify to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us, and our fellowship with the Father and with the Son and Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is our message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out our truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. We thank God for his word to us. Thank you, Ron.
John chapter 8, starting at verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I came from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are right, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law it is written that the testimony of three men is valid. No one is who testifies for himself. I am the one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they asked him, where is your Father? You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area, near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because of his time had not yet come. Once more, Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This may the Jews asked, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sin. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sin. Who are you? They asked. Just what I have been claiming all along, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable, and what you have heard from him I tell the world. They did not understand what he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I have always do what pleases him. Even so as he spoke, many put their faith in him.
The story where Jesus talks about being the light of the world probably took place during the Feast of Tabernacles. And in the Feast of Tabernacles, there was a huge candelabra, a menorah, in the temple. And there was lights everywhere within the temple courts. And it was there to remind people of the pillar of fire that was there during the time of the Exodus, during the time of wandering in the desert, that each night there will be a pillar of fire where the presence of God was. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and it upset the Pharisees. Really good stuff. Good that he upset the Pharisees. Good that he got them riled up, but not so good of the result of what they did. The sun was also a picture of Yahweh several times in the Old Testament. And Jesus is basically saying, I am God. And in that dispute over who Jesus is, it leaves no room for error at all. Jesus is saying, I am with the Father and the Father is with me. I am God. But let's look at this whole concept of what light is about. First of all, the world is dark. The world is dark. This week we saw a massive outage of power in Spain and Portugal. Even people's mobile phones weren't working. How awful. People had to talk to each other. People had to speak to each other and see each other. Well, glance at each other through the gloom. Now, living here in Leeds, you don't see as much of the dark as you do in rural areas. We have a very, very generous neighbour across the way from us who has one of these lights that responds to movement. And sometimes it flashes like a lighthouse because it's going on and off, and it keeps us awake sometimes because of the light that keeps flashing in the darkness. But you don't see much dark as you do in rural areas. In Filey, when we go to sleep, at 12 o'clock all the street lights go off. And it's absolutely pitch black. Can't see a thing. But I mean the darkness of men's hearts reflecting the societies we live in. We've seen these people claim to be the answer this week in local elections. They're the ones who are going to get us through the difficulties that we have with illegal immigration and financial problems and everything else. And yet, they never talk about the light in dark places that comes from man's sin in neglecting God. Our world is a dark place. Jesus Christ exposes that darkness in the world. Nationalism that rises again and again. War that we have in Europe. Rejection of the needy, the poor and the homeless. Starvation, deadly illness, earthquakes and famines. All these things happen and our world seems a dark place. And God reminds us that he is light in the darkness. In our country, demonizing of refugees in the press. And it's sometimes that, yes, we have illegal immigrants and we have people who are coming to cause trouble, but the majority of people coming with their families are trying to flee from such awful persecution, and they're demonized in the press. Corruption amongst the leaders of our people. Week after week, we see MPs and councillors and others who are in positions of responsibility being called out for the difficulties that they've got themselves into. The abuse of children and young people seen within our establishment and also within the churches, I'm sorry to say. Knife crime going through the roof. Each week it seems there's a new expression of that horrible, horrible crime. And the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. And Jesus is the light in the darkness. In our town, now we know some of the problems that our community faces here in Bramley. Debt, drug abuse, unwanted pregnancies, hungry families, inability to feed families, loneliness. Jesus is the light in the darkness. And even in ourselves, we have anger, we have jealousy, we sometimes gossip, we sometimes have hatred. We know how much of a rat bag we truly are. And God says, He is the source of our light. We all need light. For ourselves, we talk about He saw the light. When somebody talks about that, they mean that they've seen reality of a situation. I've been brought up on cartoons, and one of the things that they have on cartoons is that when somebody has a bright idea, a light bulb appears above their head. We talk about a light bulb coming on in our experience. Jesus Christ, the light in our darkness. And psychiatrists talk about shedding light on our inner selves, the problems and difficulties that we have. But the Bible says that separation from God is darkness too. When Jesus was upon the cross, we hear that darkness covered the face of the earth and darkness fell at the sixth hour. Where there is no God, there is darkness. In Bramley, we see the evidence of darkness is very prevalent. It's the basic nature of all of us, a tendency to dark rather than light. Jesus talked about deeds being done in the darkness, about the darkness being where we feel most comfortable. John 3, verses 19 to 21 says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love the darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, but will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God." So it's a dark world and a dark situation. And we encounter darkness in every situation, every corner. But the good news is light has come. Light has come. John 8 verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, will have the light of life." Jesus in this verse is saying, "I am the light giver." Literally, light in the darkness. For thousands of years, people were waiting for Jesus to come, for the birth of the Messiah, the Christ, the one who was the promised one. And the star showed where Jesus was to be born. Wise men guided by a light. The Bible says that none of us have to remain in the dark because light has come. John 1:9, "The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world." What a realization. Darkness was no longer compulsory. Can you imagine what it was like for those people in Spain and Portugal when the light suddenly went on again? And suddenly the darkness had been banished. That's what happened when Jesus came into the world. He banished the darkness. And what a bright light Jesus is. The very name is light. If you like, "I am the halogen bulb of darkness." You know what it's like in the middle of the night when suddenly a light comes on? You shy away, don't you, as though you're a vampire. And so many people shy away from Jesus too because he is the light. Mention Jesus and people say, "Oh, I don't go to church because I used to believe that this was because of guilt installed in people by society. But we're in a post-Christian society now, and things are different. So people are no longer brought up to believe that the right thing to go to is to go to church on a Sunday. Yet people still shy away from the name of Jesus because he is light. Even his name has supernatural power. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 4 says, "When you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I am with you in spirit, and the power of our Lord Jesus is present." When we gather in his name, power is present. There is power in the name of Jesus. And then, we are the light of the world. Matthew 5 verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden." You go back to New Testament times and Old Testament times, the cities were all on hills. They weren't in valleys, they were on hills. And if you imagine, there was no light pollution, so a city would beam in the darkness. It would be so very, very visible. And Jesus says, that's what we are like. You are the light of the world. We stand out and we are meant to stand out. We are the reflected light of Jesus. Jesus has called us to be lights to the world. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Notice that the glory goes to God, not to us. Not so people will say, what a lovely person Paul is. But instead, rather say, what a difference God has made in Paul's life. In the first century Israel, there was no light pollution, as I said. Instead, a single light from a single oil lamp could be seen for miles. Such is the light that Jesus wants us to shine with. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Being different to the world, being disciples of Jesus. That means not being quick to anger, not being known as a gossip, not using bad language, being known as someone others can depend upon by following Jesus' teaching, not the world's. But this is what Jesus says if we follow him. Firstly, we will receive opposition. Mark 10, verse 29, "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times much more in this present, as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, and with them persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." You'll not be popular. Luke 6, verse 22, "Blessed are you when men hate you. They exclude you and insult you. They reject you and name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and be leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how your fathers treated the prophets. But you will be blessed by God." Matthew 5:10 says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." We will be unpopular. As that picture shows, somebody is going to try and blow out your light as a Christian. They're going to make you look silly, make you look stupid, and say that you're naive, say that what you believe is a blind faith. But we have that commission from Jesus that says, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they will see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Don't put your light under a bushel. Israel were chosen to be the light to the surrounding nations, and the church chosen to be a light to the whole world. Israel failed. because they sinned again and again. And the church, big C church, not just this little church here, but the big church right throughout the world, often fails because we take our eyes off Jesus. Sin entangles us so we don't shine for him. If you're aware that you're not shining for him this morning, maybe you need forgiveness. Maybe we need to change our area of our lives that is not as good as it could be. Jesus waits in prayer for us to come to him and get it sorted. We need to stop hiding our light under a basket and let our light shine this day, this week, this month, this year, the rest of our lives, that Jesus' light will be seen in all we do. Let's pray together. Take a moment just to be still, to reflect on some of the things I've said. Maybe something has struck you, something you've not thought of before, something that's reminded you of something you already knew. Father, you sent light into the darkness, into this world, into this community, into our lives. We pray, Lord, that we would reflect that light and that we would give glory to God through it. In Jesus' name, amen.